Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. One of our favorite people is in the studio this morning. Award-winning author and historian Jack Kelly joins us to discuss his latest book, A Tribute to the American Revolution's 250th Anniversary. The name of the book, Tom Paine's War, The Words That Rallied a Nation and the Founder for Our Time. It is a fascinating book, a story of the power of words. 250 years ago, the Declaration of Independence marked the birth of the U.S., but two essays of that era appealed even more directly to Americans' feelings. In January 1776, Thomas Paine published Common Sense. His straightforward argument upended the fraud of monarchy and dismantled the idea of aristocratic privilege that had dominated the world for centuries. His words convinced Americans that the king had no divine right to rule them. They could rule themselves. He turned a rebellion over taxes and representation into a true revolution. Having inspired patriots to declare their independence, Paine enlisted as a militia private. He saw Washington's army suffer grievous defeats. He slogged through the mud with retreating troops to Pennsylvania. There he wrote The American Crisis, the most stirring rallying cry in our history. Again, the name of the new book is Tom Paine's War, and it's a great pleasure to welcome back Jack Kelly to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Joe. It's always great to be with you, and it always seems like the times are trying men's souls.
Indeed, you know? Indeed. And obviously, it's the 250th anniversary. For an historian, especially one who often writes about the American Revolution, that it's a fascinating opportunity to look at various facets that perhaps we missed otherwise.
Yeah, I had written a number of books myself about the war and the officers and the action and the battles. And for this book, I really wanted to get at the ideas as well, the great world-shaking ideas and values that were put forth during the founding. And Thomas Paine seemed the perfect person because he was not only very articulate about the values, but he volunteered with the Pennsylvania militia and marched with Washington's army, as you mentioned. So he knew both sides of the struggle for independence.
I mentioned in the introduction that there are these two essays, and these two essays in particular, certainly not the only essays. But give us a little biographical sketch of Thomas Paine, of who he was, and what brought him to these ideas, to not only to articulate them, but also the embodiment, the feeling that he had and the opinion that he came to.
Yeah, I think the two things to know about Thomas Paine, first of all, he was an immigrant. He had come over to America. He was born in England and had lived a good part of his life in England till he was 37. And he came over in 1774, just 6 months before the Revolutionary War began. He brought with him a different view of English society and society in general than many of the Americans had, because he had gone to work when he was 12 years old. He only had an elementary school education. He educated himself throughout his life, but he worked at hard work for 25 years when he was in England as a corset maker, a school teacher, and eventually got a job as a tax collector. And that experience really shaped him. And he had been shaped before he came over here, being sympathetic to working people and very strongly opposed to aristocracy and this hereditary stratified society that existed in England and was much less the Americans had much less of that here. It was a much more equality. So Paine loved America. He settled in Philadelphia. He had already become friends with Benjamin Franklin while he was in England, And he had a recommendation from Franklin. And so he became a magazine editor and then essentially a pamphleteer before he joined up with the Army.
When it comes to these two particular essays that you talk about in the book, what was it about them that because my understanding in reading the book, I mean, the response was pretty quick.
Yeah, the Common Sense was published in January 10th, so we're just past the 250th anniversary. And at that time, the war had been sputtering along all through the fall of 1775 and early in 1776. And most Americans at that time were not for breaking with England totally. They wanted to have, they were looking for reconciliation with the crown. And they basically wanted to make a deal. Thomas Paine said, no, that's not possible now. And he pushed forth his idea, which was that monarchy, hereditary aristocracy were the past. And we wanted, as he very famously said, we have it in our power to begin the world over again and to substitute governments by and for the people. And that was a new idea in America then. And it quickly caught on and spread over the next 6 months. And then on 4th of July, the Congress did exactly what Paine had told them to do in January, which was declare that the colonies were independent of England.
You look at these men, our founding fathers, if you will, and there's some really good writers there. What made Paine stand out, do you think?
His real innovation in rhetoric was to write for common people. That was, it was interesting. He called it common sense because he was writing in common language for common people, and that was quite radical at the time. There were many of these pamphlets being published, most of them written by intellectuals aimed at other intellectuals. They would put in quotes from the classics, sometimes actually in Greek. Thomas Paine didn't do any of that. He was had a very down-to-earth style, and he wrote in a way that a farmer could understand what he was saying, or a laborer. So it was a shocking style to them. Now, it's hard for us to look back over the centuries and see that style, how innovative it was, but at the time it was extremely innovative.
Right. I mean, it is, although it does stand out when you compare it to that of his contemporaries.
Yeah. The highfalutin. Highfalutin language. And, you know, what did Ovid say about this back in the Roman days? And Paine was very blunt. And at times, you know, people were shocked by what he had to say.
When this you write about this and the way the book is broken up brings us to various times throughout mostly 1776. So, what is it about that trajectory that the timing that because again this is really all unfolding very very quickly and. The fact that there is a change and people are coming on board to this effort to distance themselves from a monarchy, that A, it's working, and B, it's happening pretty quickly.
One of the favorable elements that made Common Sense have the effect that it had was that in the previous year, the Patriots had sent what they called the Olive Branch Petition to the king. And they said, we are your loyal subjects, and would you please give us these little adjustments in our relationship? And the king made a speech to Parliament in which he said, basically screw you. I'm not giving you any adjustments. And you're all now in open revolt, and you're going to be punished for it. And that news of that speech didn't reach America and the slow communication in those days until at the very end of the year and into January. So people were very, very angry about that. And they thought they were being slapped down, which they were. And it came out almost simultaneously with the publication of Common Sense. So that anger was immediately channeled into, oh, here's a new way. Here's a way we can change the government altogether. And people just grabbed onto it, and it really took off.
The name of the new book by Jack Kelly is Tom Paine's War, the words that rallied a nation and the founder for our time. It is published by St. Martin's Press. Jack has a series of events coming up in our region. I'll give you all the complete details, but he's going to be at the Memorial, the Morton Memorial Library in Rhinecliff on the 15th, going to be in New Rochelle on the 17th, and on February 5th we'll be at Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga, and I'll give the information about all of those events at the end of our segment. So as we talk about Thomas Paine, and I mentioned this in the introduction, of course, but at the point where he decides to volunteer as a militia private, what brought him to that? I think for anyone, that's a big decision.
Yeah, I think that he was trying to imagine what would a citizen of a republic, which there was essentially no republics on Earth at the time, but if there was a republic, if the United States was going to be a republic, what would a citizen do? He took all the profits from Common Sense and gave them to buy supplies for the army. He then decided that a citizen should join up the fight. He was, I think, 38 at that time. He was not an old man, but he was getting on there, as well into middle age, and he decided to march with the Pennsylvania militia, and he joined up with a unit that was, he joined people who were very much like him. They were what they call leather apron men, and they worked in the trades, and they were working people, and they. He was sent over to Perth Amboy. They watched the British build up on Staten Island from across the water. And eventually he ended up at Fort Lee, watched the fall of Fort Washington, which was directly across the river from Fort Lee, New Jersey, in Manhattan, and then began this terrible retreat that Washington had to make across New Jersey in November and into December of 1776. So extremely eventful year, and militarily a complete disaster for the Patriot armies.
So what did he see that impacted him to write what he ultimately wrote?
Well, I think it was his relationship with the soldiers. He had marched as an enlisted man. When he joined up, he was a celebrity author. He was known throughout the colonies mm-hmm. because of Common Sense. But he marched as a private. And he knew those people. But then he became an aide to General Nathanael Greene and would be at headquarters. And he got to know the officers, including Washington and Greene and others. So he knew the whole army. He knew that the morale was slipping very badly, and so I think out of that, knowing their concerns, he was able to write a very specific and a much more emotional essay that he called The American Crisis, that was published on the 19th of December, when the Washington's 20,000-man army had shrunk to 3,000 men, and Washington was over in Pennsylvania. The army had been pushed out of New Jersey, even. And George Washington wrote to his brother, and he said, "I think the game is pretty near up." And that was probably the low point of that year, certainly, and you could say of American history in general.
And what was, and you write about this beautifully, but what was it that the Paine was trying to say? Because ultimately this was a rallying cry.
So, yeah, probably the greatest rallying cry. And one of the most fundamental characteristics of Thomas Paine is that he was always an optimist. And even with this, even with all the defeats that they'd suffered during the fall of 1776 and being pushed out and having to retreat for weeks and men running out of supplies and it looked hopeless, he still had hope. And he assured Patriots they could prevail. It was going to be hard, he said, but the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. And he also, and I think it's an important point, that he channeled the anger of men who knew that American women and girls were being raped by British soldiers and Hessian soldiers. And we think of that, we often think of the Revolutionary War as kind of like a costume drama, but sexual violence was very prevalent in New Jersey as they moved, the British moved across New Jersey without any much opposition. They knew that Patriot homes were being invaded and looted. And I think Paine was very skillful at taking that anger and using it to boost their morale and to get them back into the fight.
Back into the fight. And ultimately, a real turn of events in Trenton.
Yeah, as I mentioned, the American Crisis was published on the 19th. 6 days later, on Christmas night, George Washington made a very risky decision to cross the Delaware River back into New Jersey. March 10 miles through a raging blizzard. And some of these men were still marching barefoot, dressed in rags, clutching a musket. They fought this Hessian army in Trenton, and they defeated them. And that was the first major victory of that campaign. They could hardly believe it themselves. And they captured 900 Hessians. So and that really began to change the direction of the war. In the favor of the Patriots.
Jack Kelly is our guest. The name of the book, Tom Paine's War, just out from St. Martin's Press. You write in the book, Thomas Paine, acutely aware of this crisis, was still overseeing the printing of additional copies of the American Crisis in Philadelphia. He received the news of events at Trenton with joy. He could hardly have expected that his words would bear fruit so quickly, that Washington would reveal his cabinet of fortitude, or that the troops would show their faith by their works within days of the essay's publication. This is when we talked earlier about the power of words. Had he talked about the reaction that he had to what it was that he said that struck such a chord?
I think that he pretty much took it for granted. You know, you mentioned the power of words, and he had seen it work with common sense, and the fact that it worked. Now, you know, people say, well, did Washington cross the Delaware because of the American Crisis, because of those famous, you know, these are the times that try men's souls? And I always say, well, you know, history is not just a row of dominoes where one thing causes another.
Right.
And it's really a kind of flywheel that gets moving, and then different factors give it more impetus. And the American Crisis was one of those factors. Certainly Washington knew about it. Whatever made him decide, it was a close call when they went over to fight the Hessians. That little bit of impetus I think, made all the difference.
You write that it jolted the flywheel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And gave it a quite the boost. Was there a relationship of rephrase. What was the nature of the relationship between Payne and Washington?
Payne was not only an admirer of Washington during the war, but he also had that insight into Washington. When you mentioned the fortitude of the cabinet of fortitude.
Yes.
He said that Washington was, in essence, what he said was that Washington was a person who came through in the clutch. When the pressure was on, when he was under the most pressure, he would come through and he would make the right decision. He would have the strength to go ahead with it. And that was quite an interesting insight that he had to Washington, because that was Washington's nature. He had been hesitant as a general. He had made mistakes as a general during that year. But when push came to shove, Washington made the right choice, decided to counterattack, and then seemed to really gain his footing as a general in the following campaigns during the long Revolutionary War.
One of the parts of the book, I mean, toward the end, it's just fascinating. You write in the epilogue, "America is indebted to few characters more than to you." General Nathanael Greene wrote to Thomas Paine in 1782. He predicted of his friend, quote, "Your fame for your writings will be immortal." Although Paine had composed two of the most important documents of the American Revolution, Greene's prediction did not come true. And decades after Paine's death, Theodore Roosevelt described him as a filthy little atheist. What happened?
Well, there's really two main factors that sunk Paine's reputation. The first was that after the Revolutionary War was over, he went to Europe and got involved in the French Revolution. He was a great defender of the French Revolution and thought, I mean, he was elated because he said, you know, we have the power to change the world in America. Now he was seeing it happen. Here is France is following America towards independent, a republic. Of course, the French Revolution went off the rails. Thomas Paine actually got thrown in a dungeon and almost lost his head during the terror of at the later part of the French Revolution. But he was always identified with that radicalism of the French Revolution. He then wanted to write a defense of deism, which was his religion what was considered a rational approach to religion. And that did not go over with Americans who had still a lot of the strains of the Puritan beliefs. And ministers up in New England burned this book, and they said he was an infidel and he was an atheist, which he wasn't. He was not an atheist. He said he believed in God. He just believed that God didn't insert himself into history. So those two things really sunk his reputation, and it continued from there. Many of the barbs that were thrown at him in the 1790s were also repeated over the years, and that quote by Teddy Roosevelt, which was wrong in every sense, that he was not dirty, he was quite a tall man, and he was not an atheist. So,
as an historian, how do you put that in two ways of asking the question? A, put it in a perspective, but B, sort of cast it aside.
Well, I think that there's been a need, and there's been many attempts, and Paine has always had his fans as well as his detractors,
right.
And there's been many attempts to revive his reputation, and I'm hoping, you know, this year people can really take a second look at it. And I'm seeing Paine quoted quite a bit lately as not only one of the great founders, but somebody who's very relevant to our own times today.
The name of the book is Tom Paine's War, The Words That Rallied a Nation and the Founder for Our Time. Jack Kelly is the author. He will be talking about the book on Thursday, January 15th, that's this Thursday, at the Morton Memorial Library in Rhinecliff, sponsored by our friends at Oblong Books. And you'll be talking with the founder of Oblong and the amazing Dick Hermans, which will be a great conversation.
Yep. So I'm looking forward to that.
It'd be very, very fun. That happening at 6:30 on the 15th. You can find out more by going to oblongbooks.com, oblongbooks.com. Jack will also be talking with the Thomas Paine Historical Association. Can't miss that one. In New Rochelle, New York, that at 4 o'clock on the 17th. And then on Thursday, the 5th of February at 6 p.m., he will be at the Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs, New York, talking about Tom Paine's War. You can find out more about that event by going to Northshire.com. Northshire.com. Again, the name of the book, Tom Paine's War, The Words That Rallied a Nation and the Founder for Our Time. Jack Kelly, it's always a great pleasure to speak with you. And the book is tremendous. Really interesting. I found it fascinating.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. And I am very appreciative of all the work you people do here at WAMC. It's a tremendous resource for our community.
Thank you very much. Again, Tom Paine's War, Jack Kelly, always a pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.